out along the skid row. Beneath a liquor store sign, there is glow.
Oh, well. Hello. And welcome again to Super Legend Radio. I am Frankie Delmain. And I am going absolutely crazy about celebrating these New York rock and roll types that I so value in my life. And today, on this particular podcast, I'm going to talk about Mr. David Johansen, famously known as the lead singer of the seminal rock and roll proto-punk, whatchamacallit, kick-ass band, the New York Dolls, one of my all-time favorite groups. And then, of course, he went on to a solo career. It was mildly successful. And then into his Buster Poindexter persona, which took him to commercial heights in the entertainment business that I think he probably always wanted. So he got it. And throughout all of that, including some of his blues work with the Harry Smiths, and now his sort of, now that he's in his 60s, I believe, right? Probably just 60 or so. Yes, he's got to be 60s. That he's now sort of taken over this great, you know, American lounge song Smith kind of thing, which I think is really cool. I mean, you know, you gotta age gracefully. And then he did that New York Dolls revival, which, you know, it was mildly successful and had its moments. So, yeah, I would have to say that I am definitely a David Johansen fan. I've been following him for years. I think I've probably liked him more than many. I know many people who know me, have known me over the years, know how much of a fan I am, and in some ways it's probably obnoxious how much I've subjected them to my David Johansen interest, and particularly his 1978 to say 1982 solo career. That 4 to 5 year period post New York Dolls was certainly nowhere near the heights of the New York Dolls, but at least as good as half a dozen FM radio rock bands that you heard on the during that time period. And I think he should have had a couple hits off those records that he never got for whatever reasons. Probably his voice, I think. It's such an acquired taste for many. And I am just one who likes it. So we're going to kick this whole thing off with a song from his debut solo record, the fantastic tune. It is called Cool Metro. Yeah.
Don't you know? Don't you see just night? it's time to move on. Let go on the road and you're dead. It's just a thin line between living and dying. Let go on the road and you're dead.
My biggest fantasy, I think, is to be the star of a major Broadway musical.
Really?
And I figure the only way I'm going to be able to accomplish that is by going out every Thursday and picking up a copy of Backstage and perusing those want ads, going to a lot of auditions, taking a lot of rejections, and eventually I'll get a gig.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, I picked up a Backstage. I was perusing those want ads. They had a lot of cute ads in them. They had one that needed extras for Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. I did that shtick in the 70s.
Yeah.
So I wanted a challenge.
You want to stretch a little bit.
I want to stretch.
Yeah.
So I keep perusing the ones. I see a cute ad there. It says, energetic entertainers needed for major Broadway musical, no experience necessary. So I figured, that's my baby. I'm going to go to that audition. I'm liable to get rejected, but I'll be developing the good work habits.
Thank you. After working all day, I head to the bar. My friends are all there, and oh, how witty they are. We talk of the events of the day, until we invariably say,
how dare you treat us this way?
This is the worst beer that I've ever had. The worst beer that I've ever had. It's so abominably bad, it would make a gay man sad. It's the worst beer that I've ever had. I've traveled all over the world. I've sipped a porter in every port of call. I've had Sapporo in Japan, that strange exotic land, served in a chilled bottle or a can. I've had Red Stripe in the Jamaican sun, served alone or with a jug of white rum. I've had the Pilsner Ukrell, brewed in a former communist hell. But this stuff's not fit for a bum. I've imbibed a Newcastle Brown. It's the only way to bear that old town. I've had Foster's Down Under, that would make an Abbo chunder and tie his kangaroo down. In Ireland, the Guinness is stout. They say it's the cure for the gout. By the holy dad, are you congenitally mad? This is the worst beer that I've ever had. This is the worst beer that I've ever had. The worst beer that I've ever had. It's so abominably bad, it would make a gay man sad. The worst beer that I've ever had. America's favorite talking drummer, Tony Machine.
Look at that caveman go!
Your Pilsner, your lager, your hearty old ale. By comparison,
this stuff fails.
In Milwaukee, I once took the tour. I fancied myself quite the connoisseur. Until the tour guide, he said,
I think you're ready for bed.
I said, good man, I've only had four. Look who's counting.
Ave Maria.
In Texas, the Lone Star is cool. Them cowboys ain't nobody's fools. Now they get off of their horse and drink with such force, they eventually fall off of their stools.
This is the worst beer that I've ever had. The worst beer that I've ever had.
By the holy dad, are you congenitally mad?
This is the worst beer that I've ever had.
California is sunny and fine.
For sure.
But they're obsessed with domestic white wine. Their denizens, I fear, won't drink enough beer. But I really can't blame them this time.
This is the worst beer that I've ever had. The worst beer that I've ever had.
It's so abominably bad, it would make a gay man sad.
The worst beer that I've ever had.
Sing hearty.
The worst beer that I've ever had.
Sing lustily.
The worst beer.
Orwellian prophecy finally come to this.
Have they actually got us drinking
Schlitz?
I don't do blue.
This is the worst. Unequivocally, irrevocably, indisputably the worst beer that I have
say that this Diesel Punk is the worst beer that I've ever had. This Pilsner, it's actually quite good for the price. It's nice and easy. That, of course, was David Johansen as his alter ego, Buster Poindexter, with the worst beer that I've ever had. And this is kind of the part I like about David Johansen is that he just reminds me of one of the Bowery Boys or one of the Little Rascals. You know, like if Butch got into showbiz, you know, what would that be like? You know, if actually the Little Rascals would have let him be in one of the plays, what would Butch have done? He would have done some sardonic shit, you know. I think David Johansen is exactly that. So if you look at all the shades of his career, from the New York Dolls to the solo stuff, to Buster Poindexter, to the Harry Smiths, to the New York Dolls revival, back to him now being the, you know, one of the granddaddies of American song and blues, and doing this sort of Bobby Short thing that I absolutely love. I love that shit. I love the guys that, you know, I'm performing at the Cafe Carlisle tonight, folks, and I hope you can join me because I'm going to be singing great songs of the 19-teens, particularly near the year of 1913, right before World War I erupted in Europe and things went all pear-shaped for us for a while. We had to have some gay tunes, you know? That's what I think of Johansen doing now, which is fucking great, you know? Like, I hope only to be performing at 70 like that. Of course, me being me, I'm going to be more like Lemmy or Dave Brock or something like that, but, you know, Robert Calvert or some crazy nutter like that. I already am halfway there, so... Anyways, so that's all out of that song, The Worst Beer That I've Ever Had. And before that, we had You Fool You from Here Comes the Night, which is a record I really like that doesn't get too much love. But I'm giving it a lot tonight because a lot of tracks are from that. And before that, we had Not That Much from the debut solo record. And before that, Bohemian Love Pad from Here Comes the Night. And before that, Heart of Gold from Here Comes the Night. So, you see the theme here? I mean, these are some great songs. And before that, we had The Rope, the Let Go song, which is the B-side to the 45 release of Funky But Chic in a different mix from the LP version. But that song, The Rope, is an incredible B-side. I think one of his greatest post-New York Dolls rock songs. And before that, we had Girls, which is like a classic that I think was supposed to be on the third New York Dolls record. That's on the first Johansen record. Before that, we had Reckless Crazy with from the In Style record, produced by Mick Ronson, of course. And we kicked that whole thing off with a great tune from the first record called Cool Metro, which I believe features Joe Perry and maybe even Johnny Thunders on guitar. Like, there's like a triple guitar threat on that particular cut. And I think there's some other sort of famed people on that made it on that first record of his, which I think is classic. Maybe not as great as the Heartbreakers Lamp record, but close. All right, we're going to kick off this next set with a song from the first record. It is a tune called Pain in My Heart, with which I think is shades of Otis Redding wrapped in sort of a New York Dolls foil.
sheep.
Funky, funky puddle.
It's Ray sheep.
Funky, funky puddle.
What sheep?
Thank you.
Now, the only problem with this audition was that it was to take place at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, the night before I did two shows, generally after the second show, me and the boys in the band, we like to go out for a couple of pops and whatever.
Yeah.
I got home, it was 7:45. So I set the clock for 8:30. I don't need a lot of time to get ready. I live in the Midtown area in the Yuppie's Kitchen.
Right.
So I got up. I looked in the mirror. Not gorgeous.
Not good.
So I went into the kitchen, I whipped myself up a humongous Bloody Mary, and I sucked it down, toot sweet. I filled the sink with freezing water, I put about 6 trays of ice down, I soaked my head for a good 10 minutes. I came up there, I put a little dab of Preparation H under each eye. The old Detroit eye tuck, it works every time.
How long? That really does
work? Oh, sure. Yeah. Then I started working on my breath. I brushed my teeth about 4 or 5 times. I goggled with the Listerine. I got the Banaca, the Visine. You mix those two up, you...
Yeah.
I comb my hair.
You mix a preparation, not age up your little trouble too.
With the toothpaste,
yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Hello? Anyway. I comb my hair, I look in the mirror, I figure, go for it. You know, you're probably going to get rejected, but like I say, I'm developing the good work habits.
Yeah.
So I walked into the beautiful Vivian Beaumont Theater, 9 o'clock, on the dot, professional. The casting director is sitting on the stage. He says to me, aren't you Buster Poindexter? And I say, yeah. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed that he recognizes me in this condition, but I cop to it. He says, you're just the kind of guy we're looking for. You got the part, co-star. Now, John, if I had known it was going to be that easy, I wouldn't have taken such good care of myself.
That's right. No sense in getting all that sleep.
Really? So I say, okay, well, I'm interested. And so I say, who's directing this show? He says, Nichols. I says, Mike Nichols? He says, no, his name's Sid Nichols, but he's done a lot of summer stock, and he's real humanitarian. You're going to love this guy. I'm still interested. So I says, okay, who is doing the choreography for this show? He says, Tharp. I says, Twyla Tharp?
Yeah.
He says, no, her name's Sheila Tharp. She's a flash dancer from Queens, but she's got the moves that are gonna rock and shock Broadway. So I say, okay, who's doing the score for this show? He says, Sondheim. I says, Stephen Sondheim? He says, no, his name's Bernie Sondheim, but he's been working on this score for 10 years. It is honed to the bone. It will rock and shock Broadway. So I'm still interested. So I said, well, you said co-star, didn't you? He says, correct. I said, well, who would my co-star be? He says, Goulet. I says, Robert Goulet? And he says, yeah.
Poor Bob.
That's Through the years, and sometimes I get so blue that holding back the tears is more than I can do. I'm trying to tell you, darling, I'm in love with you. the truth when I tell you I've been true.
Yeah.
Say, come on, Donna. Won't you give me just one more chance? Yes, that is Donna, I think, a classic. That's like a super classic track. As good as any of the 60s cuts it was trying to emulate. Like, kind of, I don't know, maybe the sort of girl group meets Dion and the Belmonts sort of story songs about some chick on the block, you know. I'm sure some much more in-the-know, smarter music people know the real shades behind that music, but I dig that song quite a bit, and that's from the first solo record. And before that was I'm a Lover, which is also from the first solo record, which features all sorts of guest stars like Joe Perry. I think Johnny Thunders appears on it as well. He had a really cool sort of Long Island, was it Staten Island, Long Island, rock and roll band backing him up. And they had a lot of muscle. Maybe not as much finesse and artistic flair and color as the New York Dolls, but very few bands ever have that much color. I mean, that band was painting with a full palette. So, yeah. Before that, we had Big City from the In Style record, which is, I love that track. Even the wonky saxophone all over it titillates me. And before that, we had, of course, the New York Dolls, Lonely Planet Boy, which I always think of David Johansen when I think of that song, because it so embodies kind of the image I think he projected in the Dolls. And it's just, it's a masterpiece. It's modern art. That song is just stands above. It's just not some fucking pop song, you know. It's not some goddamn shit, you know, from, I don't know, Drake or something. I mean, there's something so, I don't know. Anyways, okay, so before that we had Frenchette from the first record, another insane classic. Before that, Funky But Chic from the first record. Before that, Marque de Sade from the Here Comes the Night record. And before that, Justine from In Style. And we started off with Pain in My Heart from his debut solo record. So this concludes my David Johansen freakout. 19 songs, 20 if you include that one in the beginning, the Harry Smith's tune that was kind of wafting in the background. Somebody buy me a drink. So, anyways, I'm buying myself a drink tonight. You know, because that's how I roll. Yeah. We're going to end this set with a track from the In Style record. It's a final cut on the record. It's a song called Flamingo Road, and it is, I believe, if I've read correctly, about his relationship and marriage to a famous sort of rock and roll starlet, Serinda Fox. And they were married and together, and then she ran off with Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. So I think this is kind of a bitter fuck you to Steven Tyler and her in a way. You know, saying, I hope you're happy down on Flamingo Road with your fucking junkie rock star. You could have been with an artist. You could have been with a man who smoked cigars and read encyclopedias and was interesting and smart. But no, you had to go on with that ragamuffin. God bless her. She got hers in the end. Beautiful kids, a lot of money. But she has since passed, unfortunately. But, so thank you once again. I hope you enjoyed these songs as much as I did. Good night.
Well, first she gets cold, and she needs some clothes, and so she offers up her only soul and moves to Flamingo Road. when she came to town. She didn't have a dime. She had to fall in love. All turned to so demure, and they're so sweet. They got so much in common, 'cause they all are cheats. And you got a bright one there. Conversation takes you everywhere, like to the clothing store, or sending your butler out the score. It sure gets cold, it's cold, baby, when your love winds starts to blow. But now you're up on the bingo road, and everybody knows, getting so cold. You better put on your fur coat when you go out tonight, 'cause the north wind is gonna blow. Bye, baby.